Hello, everyone. So I decided to talk about sex positively. I decided to talk about religion positively. I decided to talk about my childhood in the form of my parenting styles positively. I decided to talk about my marital status positively. And I decided to talk about adult content positively. And lastly, I decided to talk about love and relationship expertise positively, alongside speaking positively about my BDSM instructing. So let's start with the sex and I'll work my way up to the other topics. So you're wondering, okay, Antonio, in the intimacy professionalism of yours in the future, the sex surrogate partner therapy, as a sex surrogate partner of your life in the future, and your being a sensuality eroticism instructor in honor of reproductive disorders sufferers, sexual disorders sufferers, sex crime survivors, violence survivors, survivors of infidelity, and and even survivors of discriminatory abuse, as well as survivors of bodily disorders. So what type of sex will you be helping people out with professionally and personally? Well, I'll tell you. I decided to start off this way. There are some people that are tops, bottoms, and versatiles. And I'm going to put it in simple language. A top is usually a person who penetrates. A bottom is usually one who receives penetration. And someone who is versatile engages in either or both roles. And there are some people that are sides. Sides prefer to kiss, hug, and engage in oral sex, rimming, mutual masturbation, and rubbing up and down on each other, to name just a few of the sexual activities they enjoy. These men enjoy practically every sexual practice aside from anal penetration of any kind. So why am I saying these things? Well, as a person who is also having to teach eroticism and sensuality that honors neurodiversity, neurodivergence, neurodistinct, and just people with disabilities, as well as those who have faced complex compound traumas, the heart, mind, body, soul, mind, memories, touch, taste, sight, smell, and hearing. That means I have to help the LGBTQI plus community that I'm a part of to have survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly sex. And where I'll be helping them have sex. Remember when I talked about, and I'm going to shorten it up because you've heard of all the places, but I'm shortening it up for you. The ethical adult sex tourism, the nudism, naturism, and nude recreation, the group sex environments, the two people sex environments, and, you know, BDSM environments, and adult film sets, and sex industry environments. That's where I'll be helping them. Helping means giving tips, pointers, as well as constructive criticism, as well as having them imagine themselves as a person with a disability or a person who is labeled with autism, or imagine yourself surviving these particular kinds of violent victimization. How would you want somebody to be nonverbal in communication towards you sexually, sensually, erotically, romantically, as well as how would you want somebody to be romantically communicative to you, or sexually communicative to you, or interpersonally communicative to you, or erotically communicative to you in general, right? And how would you want somebody to verbally communicate with you, romantically, sexually, erotically, sensually? That's what I would tell them. And it would be basically me watching them and constantly being their personal intimacy director, their personal intimacy coordinator, their personal intimacy choreographer, as well as a personal sex surrogate partner, so basically, when you are a survivor-friendly sex, sensory-friendly sex instructor, and basically when you have to teach sexual thinking styles, sexual attachment styles, sexual listening types, and sexual learning styles, sometimes you personally have to do what you are instructing them to do. because, especially in my case, because survivor-friendly human sexuality and sensory-friendly human sexuality is not widely taught nor practiced. So some would need more than just me explaining it verbally. I would have to explain it to them by doing these activities with them. So sometimes I would have to be the sensory friendly top, survivor friendly top. Sometimes I would have to be the sensory friendly bottom, survivor friendly bottom. Sometimes I would have to be the sensory friendly versatile, survivor friendly versatile. Sometimes I would have to be the sensory friendly side, survivor friendly side. There's another term, flip-flop, commonly describes switching from top to bottom during one sexual intercourse between two men. So flip-flop is also called flip-fuck. Just want you to know that. Sometimes I would have to be the sensory-friendly flip-flop as well as the survivor-friendly flip-flop, too. Sometimes I would have to be the sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly total bottom. A total bottom is someone who assumes an exclusively receptive role during anal or oral intercourse. Sometimes I would have to be the sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly, versatile bottom. A versatile bottom is one who prefers to bottom but who tops occasionally. Sometimes I would have to be the sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly, total top, which means someone who assumes an exclusively giver role during anal or oral intercourse. Sometimes I would have to a sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly power top, which one noted for their great skill or aggressiveness in topping. Sometimes I have to be the sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly rough top, which is used on apps such as Grindr to describe a top who penetrates with particular aggression, often as a show of stamina, dexterity, and strength. Sometimes I have to be the sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly service top, which is one who tops under the direction of an eager bottom or a submissive while being the one who penetrates. Sometimes I have to be the sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly, versatile top, which is one who prefers to top but who bottoms occasionally, colloquially a soft top. And by the way, a total top is also a pure top. Just want you to know that. Sometimes I have to be the sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly, penetrative partner or giver. Sometimes I have to be the sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly... power bottom, which may refer to someone who takes a more dominant role while being the receptive partner. And sometimes I have to be the sensory friendly, survivor friendly, oral bottom, which is exclusively receptive partner in oral sex, providing the penetrative partner or oral top with unreciprocated fellatio or eremacio. And so that's how it will be for me when I assist the LGBTQI+ community in the area of sex, sexuality, eroticism, sensuality, romance, and the interpersonal. So, in the world of BDSM, I have to teach top, bottom, and switch from the sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly perspective. Okay. Which means that sometimes I actually have to be a BDSM top. In BDSM, top can mean either a dominant partner BDSM play, such as flogging, binding, being master, humiliating in sexual play, or a partner who applies stimulation to another who may or may not be dominant. Sometimes I have to be BDSM top from a sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly standpoint. Sometimes I have to be a sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly topping from the bottom. Topping from the bottom is a related BDSM term, meaning a person simultaneously adopts the role of bottom and dom. Sometimes I have to be a sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly service top. A service top is a person who applies sensation or control to a bottom, but does so at the bottom's explicit instructions. Sometimes I have to be the sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly bottom. Bottom can mean either a submissive partner in sexual play, such as in being flogged, tied, humiliated, or made to serve, or a partner who receives stimulation from another who may or may not be submissive. A bottom BDSM does not have to be the submissive. For example, a dominant may command their bottom to penetrate them. So sometimes I have to be the sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly switch. A switch is someone who participates in BDSM activity, sometimes the top and other times the bottom, or in the case of dominance and submission, sometimes the dominant, other times the submissive. This is sometimes referred to as being versatile. I have to teach people that bottom is not always necessarily submissive. Dominant role is not always necessarily being dominant. I have to teach this survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly power exchange dynamic while a top exhibits control within a scene. And the dominance exhibits... The dominant exhibits control within a power exchange dynamic while a top exhibits control within a scene. Okay. So I have to do that from the sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly way. Okay. So sometimes I have to teach survivor-friendly, survivor-friendly sadism and masochism. Receiving physical, emotional, mental pain. Not the traumatic way, but the consensual. We're all in this together. This is awesome. We're not in the hospital ever kind of way. So, in BDSM, a top is the person doing something to someone else and a bottom is the person receiving that act. In both contexts, the terms top and bottom refer to active and passive roles, not to who is physically on top in a particular sexual act. A switch is someone who can act as both a top and bottom. The older term versatile is sometimes used instead of switch. So you're learning more of what I'm assigned to do in terms of skin-to-skin contact. And relational contact too. Of course there's more. So I have to directly and indirectly demonstrate sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly foreplay. Foreplay is a set of emotionally and physically intimate acts between one or more people meant to create sexual arousal and a desire for sexual activity. Although foreplay is typically understood as physical sexual activity, non-physical activities such as mental and verbal acts may in some contexts be foreplay. Then I must demonstrate sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly, non-penetrative sex. Non-penetrative sex or outer course is sexual activity that usually does not include sexual penetration. It generally excludes the penetrative aspects of vaginal, anal, or oral sex, but includes various forms of sexual and non-sexual activity such as frottage, manual sex, mutual masturbation, kissing, or cuddling. Some forms of non-penetrative sex, particularly when termed outer course, include penetrative aspects such as penetration that may result from forms of fingering or oral sex. Sometimes I have to demonstrate sensory-friendly, survivor-friendly sexual penetration. Sexual penetration is the insertion of a body part or other object into a body orifice, such as the mouth, vagina, or anus, as part of human sexual activity or sexual behavior in non-human animals. So I have to demonstrate survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly erotic massage, rubbing all over with or without oil. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly intercrural sex. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly intrafemoral sex. When one partner places a phallic object or penis between the other partner's thighs. I'm just listing the types of sexual activity I'll be demonstrating. That's it. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly interglutal sex. When one partner places a phallic object or penis into the other partner's buttock cleavage or glutal cleft. survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly mammary intercourse when one partner rubs a phallic object or penis between the partner's breasts. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly stimulation of nipples, stimulating the nipples usually orally or manually. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly tribidism, vulva-to-vulva rubbing. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly frot, penis-to-penis rubbing. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly manual sex, stimulation of another person's genitalia by using the hands or fingers. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly hand jobs, manual stimulation of another person's penis. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly fingering, manual stimulation of another person's vulva or vagina. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly anal fingering, manual stimulation of another person's anus. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly oral sex, stimulation of another person's genitalia by using the mouth, lips, tongue, or teeth. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly cunnilingus, oral stimulation of another person's vulva. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly fellatio, oral stimulation of another person's penis. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly analingus, oral stimulation of another person's anus. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly vaginal sex, penetration of one person's vagina with another's penis for sexual stimulation and slash or reproduction. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly anal sex, penetration of one person's anus with another's penis for sexual stimulation. So, yeah, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly autoeroticism, also known as autoerotism, autosexuality, or self-gratification, is any sexual activity involving only one participant. It is the practice of giving sexual pleasure to oneself. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly sexual fantasy. A sexual fantasy, erotic fantasy, is an autoerotic mental image or pattern of thought that stirs a person's sexuality and can create or enhance sexual arousal. A sexual fantasy can be created by the person's imagination or memory and may be triggered autonomously or by external stimulation such as erotic literature or pornography, a physical object, or a sexual attraction to another person. Anything that may give rise to a sexual arousal may also produce a sexual fantasy. A sexual arousal may in turn give rise to fantasies. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly masturbation, stimulation of one's own genitalia. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly manual masturbation, stimulation of one's own genitalia by using the hands or fingers. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly jerking off slash wanking, manual stimulation of one's own penis. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly oral masturbation, stimulation of one's own genitalia by using the mouth, lips, tongue, or teeth, only possible for flexible people or contortionists. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly autofellatio, oral stimulation of one's own penis. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly autocunnilingus, oral stimulation of one's own vulva. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly anal masturbation, stimulation of one's own anus. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly autosodomy, insertion of one's own penis into their anus. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly facials involve someone ejaculating onto their partner's face. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly fisting, insertion of a hand into the vagina or rectum. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly foot jobs, stimulating other person's genitals with the feet. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly group sex, sexual activity with more than two people. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly eremacio, when the penis is thrust into someone else's mouth. In contrast to fellatio, where the penis is being actively orally excited by a fellator. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly sumata, type of stimulation of male genitals popular in Japanese brothels. The woman rubs the man's penis with her thighs in labia majora. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly vanilla sex, sexual activity that is considered normal by society. Survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly sex toys, objects used for sexual stimulation. So yes, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly dildos, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly vibrators, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly anal beads, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly cock rings, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly artificial vaginas, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly sex dolls, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly sexual role play, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly bondage discipline, dominance and submission, BDSM, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, erotic humiliation, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, sadism and masochism, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, cock and ball torture, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, breast torture, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, pussy torture, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, erotic spanking, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, bondage position, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, BDSM equipment, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, sexual fetishism, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, sexual slang, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, sex position, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, dirty talk, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, copulatory vocalizations, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, erogenous zones, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly erections, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly orgasm, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly ejaculation. So, what does sensory overload mean? Because this is the best description for sensory friendly. When it comes to sex, we have to be mindful of irritability, shutting down or refusing to participate in activities, interact with others, avoiding touching or being touched, complaining about noises that do not affect others, getting overexcited, covering eyes around bright lights, making poor eye contact, covering ears to close out sounds or voices, constantly changing activities without completing any task, tasks, T-A-S-K-S, irritation caused by shoes, socks, tags, or different textures, oversensitivity to touch, movement, sights, or sounds, having trouble with social interactions, extremely high or extremely low activity levels, muscle tension, hyperhidrosis, extreme perspiration, fidgeting and restlessness, angry outbursts, self-harm, sleeplessness and fatigue, difficulty concentrating. Those are the things about sex we have to pay attention to. We also, when it comes to sex, we have to pay attention to the sensory overload in senses. Hearing loud noise or sound from multiple sources, such as several people talking at once. Sight, crowded or cluttered spaces, bright lights, strobing lights, or environments with much movement, such as crowds or frequent scene changes on television. Smell and taste, strong aromas or spicy foods. Touch, tactile sensations, such as being touched by another person or to feel the cloth on, feel of cloth on skin. Vestibular, such as dizziness or motion sickness. As well as urbanization, crowding, noise, mass media, and technology. And sensory, being autism friendly means being understanding and flexible interpersonal conversation, public programs, and public settings. That means we have to be mindful of cliches and sarcasm and pop culture references. And we have to be mindful of sensory stimuli, be mindful of body language, facial expressions, gestures, word choices, tone of voice, colloquialism, slang, figurative expressions, being literal, vocabulary and speech perception, sign language, braille, symbol sets, hyposensitivity. And sensory friendly is a design environment which is an accommodation for people who have a sensory dysfunction or sensory processing disorder. There are sensory friendly experiences which are offered by businesses. There's also sensory friendly furniture. So that's what sensory friendly means. So this is what I want to tell you. Being survivor friendly means honoring the verbal trauma triggers, verbal trauma stimuluses, verbal trauma stressors, verbal trauma reminders, honoring the nonverbal trauma triggers, nonverbal trauma stimuluses, nonverbal trauma stressors, nonverbal trauma reminders. It means honoring verbal traumatic coupling, nonverbal traumatic coupling, honoring verbal flashbacks, nonverbal flashbacks, honoring verbal panic attacks, nonverbal panic attacks, honoring verbal post-traumatic stress, and honoring nonverbal post-traumatic stress, honoring verbal trigger warnings, nonverbal trigger warnings, verbal content warnings, and nonverbal content warnings. It means when it comes to survivors, honoring verbal acute stress disorder, verbal content ratings, verbal emotional dysregulation, verbal hypervigilance, verbally repressed memories, verbal survivor guilt, honoring nonverbal acute stress disorder, nonverbal content rating, nonverbal emotional dysregulation, nonverbal hypervigilance, nonverbally repressed memories, and nonverbal survivor guilt. And so, it also means that there has to be. So when it comes to survivors, you have to honor triggers such as particular smells, particular tastes, particular sounds, particular textures, particular wardrobes, certain times of day, certain times of year, specific dates, sites, places, persons, arguments, sensations on the skin, the positions of the body, physical pain, emotions in particular situations. And the stimulus itself need not be frightening or traumatic. It may be only indirectly or superficially reminiscent of an earlier traumatic incident, such as a scent or a piece of clothing. So that's what being survivor friendly means. So now it's important to have survivor friendly, sensory friendly, oral sex positions, such as fellatio, the sitting fellatio, standing fellatio, lying fellatio, and I think that's so important. You know, I feel, you know, you gotta have survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly orgasm control, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly auxiliary intercourse, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly dry humping. You gotta have survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly docking. Absolutely, there has to be survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly sex parties, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly swinger parties / gatherings, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly sex clubs, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly swinger clubs, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly lifestyle clubs. There has to be survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly gay bathhouses, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly gay beats, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly bisexual bathhouses, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly transgender bathhouses, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly orgies, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly bunga bunga orgies. There has to be survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, circle jerk, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, daisy chain, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, gangbang, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, reverse gangbang, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, threesomes or three ways, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, menage a trois, survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly, menage a quatre. And there has to be monogamous group sex, same room sex, and soft swapping that is survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly. There has to be Spencerian double penetration, foursome or four ways, menage a quatres that all have to be survivor-friendly and sensory-friendly. So, those are important too. And I just had to really make that point crystal clear. You know, there has to be survivor friendly, sensory friendly, double vaginal penetration, survivor friendly, sensory friendly, double anal penetration, survivor friendly, sensory friendly, penetration to vagina anus simultaneously, survivor friendly, sensory friendly, Chinese finger traps, Eiffel Tower, survivor friendly, sensory friendly, simultaneous penetration of the mouth and either the vagina or anus. Survive friendly, sensory friendly, lucky Pierres. Survive friendly, sensory friendly, humping. Survivor friendly, sensory friendly, rusty trombones. Survivor friendly, sensory friendly, 69. These are all important. You know, to have survivor friendly, sensory friendly, penetrating partner on top with front entry. So the coital alignment technique, the stoppage, the butterfly. Position the penetrating from behind, the spoons position, receiving partner on top, the lateral coital position, the sitting and kneeling and standing, suspended Congress Kama Sutra, Ikebin positions, doggy style, and just the pal driver positions, the modified T-square, the seventh posture, the rusty bike pump, you know, using furniture special apparatus, positions to promote or prevent conception, positions during pregnancy, personal and back, sideways. They all have to be survivor-friendly and sensory-friendly. Basically, there has to be soft limits. Safe word, safe, sane, and consensual. Role play, play parties, hard limits, impact play. Contracts, consent, aftercare, as well as the ability to just recognize that we have to be mindful of the impartation of sex as well, in terms of what we say, what we do, what we think, and what we feel. And so in closing, there has to be integrity. There does have to be personal responsibility, informed, consensual kink prick. There has to be risk aware, consensual kink rack too. There has to be lastly, for the sex part, and I'll just tell you about the adult content stuff really quickly. There must be ethical BDSM, non-disclosure, confidentiality, honesty, inclusivity, implied power dynamic too. So yeah, be a sensory friendly, survivor friendly, BDSM practitioner. Now, basically, Antonio, so survivor-friendly, sensory-friendly porn films, who are you going to perform with? Mostly women, because I'm heteroflexible. Because I have some pansexuality, men and non-binary and trans adults too, but mostly with women. Okay, who would you do sex scenes, love scenes in television and movies and erotic films with? Mostly women, because I'm heteroflexible again, and again, I have some pansexuality in me, so men and non-binary trans adults too. So your answer is the entire gender and sexual diversity of human adults that are positive persons of all walks of life? Yes. So these people, in terms of being intimacy, professional, sex, surrogate, partner therapy, it's going to be mostly women, some men, some non-binary adults, some trans adults. And all these environments of ethical adult sex tourism and group sex environments, two people sex environments, and these nudism, naturas, new recreation spots, yes. Including the sex industry spots, yes, that too. That answers the whole question. Now that I got that settled, now we can, because I covered BDSM and sex all in one. Awesome. Now I want to get religion to be settled in my heart for me. And I'm going to speak about it positive like I promised I would. Well, I'm at the point where I also don't rely on ritualisms, precepts, statutes, commandments, regulations, and customs to be of human scrupulousness. Because being well balanced, well roundedness, well adjustment, and well unification is within me. Therefore, I don't need the do's and don'ts of each religion to be my moral compass for that. And lastly, I don't rely on houses of worship for fellowship, because I fellowship well with myself and I fellowship with others. I don't need a weekly architecture to feel like I'm having said things, those things. Now, let's get to my marital status. This is very quickly. My solo living is not about loneliness because I'm not lonely. It means that I'm physically alone. But I know I'm not the only one who's just like me. So the beauty of being a solo living person is that I have no sexual pressure, no romantic pressure, no biological clock is ticking pressure. I have no roommate pressures. I have no no erotic pressures, no sensual pressures, no interpersonal pressures. You know, I feel like my purpose of being a confirmed bachelor, self-parenting, being my own janitor, being my own roommate, and being just being my own pet owner is just it brings me freedom from societal checklists and religious checklists too. So, in other words, no spouse, forever. Living alone forever. And child freedom forever. And it's just, it also frees me to not have to search, not have to find, not have to have any dating pressures either. I don't have to have any commitment pressures, so this life works for me. Now, in regards to my parenting styles. Okay. Let's get to that. My parenting styles are authoritative parenting, positive parenting, peaceful parenting, respectful parenting, active parenting, conscious parenting, and gentle parenting. And basically, all those parental styles can be summed up in a short amount of words. They all mean that the parents are nurturing, responsive, and supporting, yet set firm limits for their children. They attempt to control children's behavior by explaining rules, discussing, and listening. They listen to a child's viewpoint, but don't always feel dictated to by it. And it is where there's a high concern for the child, but the parent is trying to direct control. And it means administering fair, consistent discipline when rules are broken, allowing their children to express opinions, encouraging their children to discuss options, expressing warmth and nurturance, fostering independence in reasoning, listening to their children, placing limits, consequences, expectations on their children's behaviors, and commanding but supportive, folks, and reinforcing desirable behaviors, provide structured guidance, expectations, significant involvement in a child's life. And basically, I don't do whoopings, I don't do spankings, I don't do hittings, I don't do beatings, I don't do, you know, taking a switch or using inanimate objects at all. No extension cords, no belt buckles, no striking a kid at all. I don't do those things at all. No pots and pans, no hitting kids at all with anything. And no yelling at kids, and period. I do, I do queer positive parenting, LGBTQI plus positive parenting, and sex positive parenting. I'm the type of parental figure that stresses safer sex, comprehensive sexuality education, and do no harm principle, live and let live approaches to sex and sexuality. So those are my parenting styles. I'm the CERTS model type of parent: consent, equality, respect, trust, and safety. And I emphasize emotional safety and psychological safety and sex, sexuality too. But that's me. Lastly, love and relationships expertise. Basically for me, I have a heart for I have a heart for relationships, as you know. Is that when it comes to relationships, I have a history of helping couples and ethical non-monogamy persons with effective communication, effective compassion, effective conflict resolution, effective emotional support, effective humor, effective tolerance, effective appreciation, effective stability, effective empathy, effective authentic connection, effective trust, effective trust, effective honesty, effective shared values. Effective vulnerability, effective attentive listening, effective positive responsiveness, effective balance approaches, being effectively goal oriented, effective confidentiality. So I would make a great parent coach, a great relationship coach. And I'm ending on a good ass note.